morning, listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of Nutro Pet Foods Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, talking to you each week about any and all issues pertaining to our pet dogs. According to a survey done in 2007, there were more than 72 million pet dogs and 82 million pet cats in the United States. These statistics were taken from a survey of over 47,000 households. That's a lot of dogs and cats. Obviously, these animals are very important to us. They provide us with wonderful companionship, and it's even been shown that owning a pet can help lower our blood pressure and even extend our lives. As a dog trainer, I meet many people who view their dogs much as they would their children. For those who don't have children or whose kids have grown up and left the nest, dogs can become child substitutes, which help satisfy our need to care for someone depending on us for its very survival. Unfortunately, in our attempt to provide for their needs, we often make poor choices in how we teach our dogs to choose desirable behaviors. Believe me, I know how confusing it is to make the right decisions on selecting a trainer, on choosing training methods and training equipment. My own clients complain about the conflicting information they find on the internet when doing their searches and when they see trainers we watch these days on television programs. Some trainers recommend using treats for training, while other trainers recommend doing collar and other physical corrections, and they swear that treat trainers are bribing dogs. Still other trainers sing the praises of using electronic devices for teaching basic obedience and for providing a quick fix for behavior problems. So what's a pet owner to do? Besides pulling their hair out in frustration, how can people be sure they'll get the right results they need in order to have a well-behaved, well-adjusted dog living in their home? As a positive reinforcement dog trainer who uses only reward-based training methods, I find it extremely unfortunate that too many dog owners will not take the time to use rewards in order to teach their dogs proper behaviors. Instead, they're opting to take the route of the electronic quick fix. I'm not a scientist, but I don't have to do formal studies to recognize that these dogs develop major behavior problems after having been exposed to painful tactics. I'm referring specifically to dogs trained with shock collars, also known as e-collars or remote collars, and dogs who are kept behind electronic containment systems, also known as invisible fencing. I work with these dogs every day, after the fact, and can plainly see the ramifications of using electronics on our companion pets. Our discussion this morning will focus on those electronic devices that seem to be so popular, particularly in our own state of New Jersey. I kid you not that this is a very heated and controversial topic discussed all the time among professional trainers, behavior consultants, veterinarians, and dog owners. I sincerely hope you'll stay tuned for the duration of this program so you can become more informed about the complications we're creating when using electronic equipment on our dogs. You're listening to Nutro Pet Foods Thursday in the Doghouse. We'll be back in just a moment.
Nutrition is a very important part of a dog's overall health. Feeding your dog a high-quality diet can prevent many visits to the veterinarian for problems like digestive issues, dry skin, itching, flaking, and dandruff. That's the advantage you'll have when you feed your dog Nutro pet food. Nutro is a super premium pet food made from high-quality meat proteins such as chicken meal and lamb meal for easy digestibility. Nutro also has very high levels of essential omega-3 and 6 fatty acids, giving your dog a healthier, shinier skin and coat, also meaning less shedding. Nutro has foods for every life stage, from puppy through senior, and even for dogs that may be overweight. It's available at your local pet food store, and it's 100% guaranteed or your money back. Nutro pet foods are naturally preserved with added vitamins and minerals for a healthy immune system. If you want less waste to clean up in your yard and you want your dog to shed less and have better vitality, buy a bag of Nutro dog food today.
I want to let you know that the complete line of Nutro dog foods, biscuits, and treats can be purchased at Monster Pets in the Audubon Crossing Shopping Center, 130 Black Horse Pike in Audubon, New Jersey. Give them a call at 856 347-7387. So I want to welcome you back to Nutro Pet Foods Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. We're about to embark on a very controversial subject, the use of shock collars and electronic invisible fencing. One significant fact to always keep in mind is that dogs learn by association. We can teach them words like sit by saying that word as they sit. If we say sit every time the dog puts his butt on the floor, he then learns to sit when we ask him to sit. We can teach them to associate the word treat when we say that word as we offer them a food reward. I'm sure you'll agree with me that your dog knows the word treat means a delicious treat is coming. Doesn't your dog get all excited when he hears the sound of the doorbell? That excitement is in response to his learned association that every time the doorbell rings or someone knocks, we run to the door and shout, "Who is it?" As we go through this discussion, you'll hear the word association mentioned frequently. In 2003, there was a study done on the effects of shock collar training by the Department of Clinical Sciences of Companion Animals at the University of Utrecht in the Netherlands. According to their study, direct reactions of 32 German Shepherd police dogs to receiving 107 high-voltage shocks while they were training with their owners showed reactions that suggested stress, fear, and pain. These reactions included lowering of body posture, high-pitched yelps, barks, and squeals, avoidance redirected aggression, and tongue flicking. The conclusions reached at the end of their study indicated that these dogs showed extreme signs of stress and learned to associate the presence of their owner or his commands with receiving shocks, even outside of the normal training context. The study suggested that the welfare of these shocked dogs were at stake, at least when they were in with their owners. The American Veterinary Society of Animal Behavior states that the use of punishment, as with the shock collars, should not be used as a first-line or early-use treatment for behavior problems. They state that learning is inhibited, there's an increase in fear-related and aggressive behaviors and injury to animals and people interacting with animals. They further state that the punishment can cause animals to develop a negative association with the person implementing it or with the environment in which the punishment is used. Dr. Karen Overall, a highly respected veterinary behaviorist who ran the behavior clinic at the University of Pennsylvania for 12 years, is vehemently opposed to the use of shock collars. She wrote the following statement: "Shock is not training. In the vast majority of cases, it meets the criteria for abuse. In my patient population, dogs who have been treated with shock have a much higher risk of an undesirable outcome, such as euthanasia, than dogs not subjected to shock. In all situations where shock has been used, there is some damage done, even if we cannot easily see it. No pet owner needs to use this technique to achieve their goal. Dogs who cease to exhibit a problem behavior usually also cease to exhibit a normal behavior. The only data available support the idea that shock is neither an effective nor suitable training tool." In 2001, the Companion Animal Behavior Therapy Study Group, an affiliate of the British Small Animal Veterinary Association, made the following policy statement on the use of electronic training aids. They state, "Their effectiveness depends upon the pain and fear experienced by the animal, but to use them correctly requires detailed understanding of behavior and its motivation, as well as very precise timing. Few operators are able to achieve any reliable success with these devices, and the consequences of failure can be worsening of the problem behavior. These devices are now available to dog trainers and the general public via mail order, through pet shops and veterinary clinics. The product marketing implies that electronic training devices are simple, humane, and effective. Pet owners with little or no experience or understanding of training can purchase this equipment and use it on their animals with no proper guidance and without any attempt to identify the motivation for the unwanted behavior. Such an approach, at best, results in cortisol, in control of symptoms rather than treatment of cause, and at worst, may cause new behaviors to develop. For example, the use of pain and fear as a method of training or controlling an animal has been shown to have the potential to induce aggression and to cause long-term behavioral problems. This is due to inappropriate associations made between the aversion of the device and the presence of unconnected stimuli in the environment, including people. They further stated, "It is the responsibility of the veterinary surgeon to prevent unnecessary suffering in animals under our care. Therefore, as an association affiliated to British Small Animal Veterinary Association, it is our duty to recommend that shock collars and all other related training and control aids should be banned from sale or use." Let's take a short break, and when we come back, I'll talk to you about the dogs I've observed who have been trained with shock and what other experts have observed and their experiences. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey dog trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338, or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Welcome back to Nutro Pet Foods Thursday in the Doghouse. We're talking today about the ramifications of using shock collars for dog training. Dog owners have defended their use of shock training by telling me their training worked to stop their dog's bad behavior. Yes, we can stop a behavior by using aversive methods, but what the average dog owner may not realize is that their dog has only learned to avoid that shock. The dog hasn't learned to choose a more appropriate behavior instead. Not only that, even if a dog avoids a specific behavior, you cannot know what emotions are going on in his brain as a result of those aversive procedures. After a dog is repetitively exposed to shock, he goes into a state of learned helplessness, an emotional condition in which the dog literally shuts down. According to James O'Hare, author of the book Aggressive Behavior in Dogs, learned helplessness happens to an animal when it's exposed to uncontrollable and severe aversive stimulation. A dog will frequently abandon efforts to escape or avoid it and will not be able to learn escape or avoidance contingencies even when they are readily available. Learning is inhibited and all behavior tends to be suppressed. I've observed many dogs at shelter fundraisers where shock collar trainers stroll around the grounds with their off-leash German Shepherds walking in heel position. To the untrained eye, this might seem pretty impressive, but what I see are dogs with lowered heads and very dull expressions on their faces, appearing almost robotic. I don't see these dogs showing any signs of being normal, energetic, playful, and happy companion pets. It's amazing to me that people would choose to create a situation like this for their dogs. After all, didn't we fall in love with our dogs because they're fun-loving, energetic, and goofy? Do you really want to live with a dog who behaves like a programmed computer? In doing some research on this topic, I found two interesting studies that were done. One in 2000, entitled, "Can Aggression Be Elicited Through Electronic Pet Containment Systems?" This study discusses the effect of shock collar-based fencing on the behavior of dogs citing 5 incidents in which dogs exposed to this type of containment committed severe aggressive attacks on humans on or near the boundary of the fence system. As suggested by other research, dogs may make inappropriate associations between shock and other experiences. In every incident, the dog was within the shock zone and all fences were working. The dogs must then have received a shock. 4 of the 5 dogs were not subjected to threatening behavior by the victims prior to the attack. None of the dogs gave any kind of warning before biting, and all bit their victims repeatedly and seriously on the head, face, back, and neck. The analysis suggests that the dog's aggression was caused by the electric fencing system. There are several unknowns to these cases, including the training used to introduce the dog to the fence, the amount of time the dog spent outside unsupervised, and what level of shock intensity the dogs received. However, the reaction of the dogs, and especially the severity of the attacks, was inconsistent with their past behavior. Researchers concluded a possible interpretation in terms of unconditioned aggression as a result of a dog having received electronic shock and avoidance-motivated aggression, mediated through fear reduction toward human stimuli. In 2006, a study was done in Hanover, Germany, on the clinical signs caused by the use of electric training collars on dogs in everyday life situations. This study sought to investigate whether stress is caused by the use of electronic collars in an attempt to evaluate their impact on animal welfare. Heart rate and other physiological stress indicators were tested to determine the stress levels in 3 groups of dogs. The first group received a shock whenever they performed a specific behavior. That group did not show a significant rise in stress levels. The second group received a shock when they did not obey a command. That group did show a significant rise in stress levels. And the third group received random shocks. They showed the highest level of stress. From this, the researchers concluded that those dogs who could clearly associate shock with their action and were able to predict and control whether they received a shock did not suffer from considerable or persistent stress. The evidence of increased stress in the other 2 groups, however, was felt to support earlier findings that poor timing and/or inappropriate use of a shock collar puts the dog at high risk of severe and ongoing stress. They concluded that the general use of electronic shock collars is not consistent with animal welfare. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about electronic collars and also electronic invisible fences. You're listening to Nutro Pet Foods Thursday in the Doghouse. Please don't touch your dial, because we're coming right back.
Dogs need exercise and socialization. Dog Days Camp for Canines provides a great solution to keeping your dog well-exercised and happy. We are a doggy daycare located at 23 West Main Street in historic downtown Marlton, New Jersey. At Dog Days, dogs play inside and away from the elements. We've been open since September 2003, providing a clean, friendly, and supervised atmosphere. Our services also include bathing, nail trimming, as well as group obedience classes. If you don't want to leave your dog alone for the entire day, if you have a lot of errands to run, or if you just need a break, bring your dog to our well-run and popular doggy daycare. Contact us at 856-985-7086 or at the web at www.dogdaysinc.net. That's 856-985-7086 or on the web at www.dogdaysinc.net.
Welcome back to Nutro Pet Foods Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm Rainey Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. Our subject for today is the everyday use of electronic equipment for training dogs, which is quite a controversial topic. If you're a dog trainer, I'm certain that you've had many discussions about this with other trainers and veterinarians, and maybe you even got into some heated debates about it. I know I have on many occasions. If you're a dog owner and you've used the shock collar for training, you might believe that your training has gone well and using the collar helped you get rid of some unwanted behaviors from your dog. However, I would ask, if after you use this collar, whether at some point in your dog's life, if he or she developed any other problematic behaviors that seemed to come out of nowhere. And nobody could explain why this surprise behavior occurred at all. I'm asking you this because this is a common complaint from my own clients when they finally decide to call a trainer that uses more positive methods. I'm very fortunate to be acquainted with a homeopathic veterinarian, Dr. Michael Dim, who practices in Cedar Brook, New Jersey. I asked him if there was a correlation between the use of electronic shock and the occurrence of seizures in dogs. He explained that a seizure is uncontrolled and involuntary electrical discharges and impulses from the brain, which result in physical changes known as seizures. An unnatural repetitive electrical stimulation from shock collars in certain susceptible patients can lead to unwanted physical changes and behaviors because all physical and biochemical changes in the body start as energy changes. He further stated that the use of devices that generate an electromagnetic force field of energy can indeed affect the health of animals. He told me that it is much better and healthier to work with a dog through gentle behavioral modification exercises rather than using electric collars that can have unwanted side effects and contribute to further, deeper ill health. Dr. Dim and I are both acquainted with a mutual friend who loves to go hunting with his dogs. Our friend used the shock collar on his own hunting dog, and he was very proud of that dog. When our friend's dog was about 4 years old, his behavior suddenly changed. For several weeks, the dog just wasn't himself. He was growling when he had to be handled, and he was becoming increasingly irritable with the young children in the house that were growing up with him. During this time, our friend went on a hunting trip in the Pocono Mountains, accompanied by his dog. When he arrived at a friend's cabin, he got out of his truck to open the door to let his dog out. Within seconds, his dog raced up alongside of him and viciously attacked him, causing several deep puncture wounds to both his hands and wrist. The attack was totally unprovoked from a dog that had never shown aggression to his owner before. It was sudden and completely unexpected. His beautiful dog could not be restrained or controlled, and sadly had to be shot and killed on the spot by the friend he was visiting. Dr. Dim's opinion was that this impulsive and uncontrollable attack was quite probably the result of the dog having been repetitively exposed to shock. I've worked with many dogs who were confined in the backyard with electronic fencing. I've even had clients who had this type of system installed inside the house in rooms where they wanted to prevent their dog from entering. In just about every case, I've seen very neurotic, fearful, and aggressive behaviors from these dogs. I had a client with two adolescent miniature schnauzers who were driving their owners crazy because of their nonstop barking outside in the yard. The humans couldn't understand why their dogs were always barking when there was nothing apparently visible to them for the dogs to bark at. It's my opinion that both of these dogs lived with constant stress, knowing there was always a possibility of their getting shocked if they forgot and ran to the boundary of the fence line, despite having the fence trainer come out two times to retrain the dogs. One of my favorite client dogs, a Border Collie Husky mix, bit a couple of the neighborhood children on their hands. She had been well socialized and very friendly toward children until she suddenly started to show this behavior at age 2.5. The family had installed an electric fence in their backyard. Their dog escaped the yard several times, ignoring the shock she received to go after rabbits and squirrels. Each time she escaped, she then refused to come back into the yard, fearing she'd be shocked again for coming home. We can't be certain why she developed the negative emotions towards children, but if she even saw children playing at the same time she received a shock from that fence, she would have learned to associate them with shock. This dog required many months of behavior modification. I was also recently called to work with a family's Bernese Mountain Dog who was kept behind an electric fence which surrounded their entire property. The dog loved to lie outside in the sun, and the family felt he didn't need to be supervised out there because he never tested the boundary of their fence. One day, the dad leashed his dog up to take him for his daily walk. Unfortunately, he forgot to take the electric collar off beforehand. As they left the property to start out on their walk, the dog received a shock and refused to go anywhere for several weeks afterward. All of their attempts to take the dog for a walk off property proved unsuccessful, even when they showed him that his electric collar was removed from his neck. Are you getting the picture yet about associative learning? We've been discussing the very controversial issue of training dogs using electronic equipment, like shock collars and electronic invisible fencing. If you've listened to my entire program so far today, I'm sure you can tell I don't approve of any of these things. I don't believe dogs need to be trained by shocking or exposing them to anything painful in order to train them or modify unwanted behaviors. I've seen some absolutely wonderful companion dogs become horribly neurotic and aggressive because their owners were convinced that shock would give them a quick fix they needed. Listen to me. There is no quick fix for any problem behavior, no matter if we're talking about dogs, cats, or humans. If a dog is suffering from an emotional problem and we expose that dog to pain and punishment, do you really think that pain is going to make him feel happier and safer in his life? If your dog is pulling on his leash because he gets overly excited at the sight of other dogs, shocking him might stop the pulling, but he's only going to feel threatened at the sight of the dogs. So maybe in a few months or a year or two, your dog will develop aggressive behaviors toward other dogs, and then everyone will be wondering, where did that behavior come from? Many of the invisible fence companies convince people to start training their four-month-old puppies to respect the boundary of the fence. Please be aware that puppies go through fear periods during their stages of development. Puppies develop a fear period sometime between 4 months and 11 months. If a dog has any bad experience during a fear period, it can affect that dog for the rest of his life. If you expose your puppy to shock during a fear period, you will ruin your puppy forever. I sincerely hope that this 30-minute show has made you aware of the dangers to your dog's physical and emotional health from using shock collar training and electronic fences. Please be very careful to avoid resorting to aversive methods in order to teach your dog appropriate behaviors. Dogs are incredibly smart, and they learn very quickly when they're rewarded with toys, exercise, games, and treats for doing the right things for us. There is never any reason to train with pain. Please listen again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Our subject will be how to keep kids and dogs safe with one another. If you're pregnant and expecting a child and you have a dog that has been exposed to infants or children in your home, please make sure to tune in because I'll be giving you lots of good tips on how to get your dog accustomed to the sounds of babies crying and your behaviors when you're taking care of your new arrival. As always, if you have any questions about your own dog's behaviors, contact me on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. If you want to find out more information about my training or my methods, give me a call at 609-280-9338. See you again next week.
Who let the dogs out?